Let's start in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, Amen. Hello, everyone. How are you? It's good to be with you today. Sorry you don't get to have Moon Anthony today. He's in a retreat in Los Angeles. So pray for him and that he would have a good time and a blessed and fruitful retreat. Okay? So I'm here. So you can appreciate Abun Anthony later on, okay? That's my purpose of being here today. So our presentation is a little bit different today. If you notice, I didn't leave anything to fill in here today for a reason, because I didn't want you to focus on writing down. I want you to focus on something else, okay? So everything here, I wrote down everything. There's nothing to fill in the blanks. But I want you to focus on one thing. I'm going to talk about relationships, relationships 101, basics of relationships, something very, very, very important for every person, every father, every mother, every worker, every leader. This is mainly, you know, for leaders, for servants, for anyone, okay? But it's very important to know that no one has it all, okay? We need always to grow and learn in relationships. So what I want you to do is, while we're going, and I'll try to go fast, okay, so we can cover a lot of things today. But I want you to circle the most important thing that you feel God is talking to you, okay? God wants to highlight something. Circle this. And I really appreciate if you can leave this with you, because I'm sure you will need it one day. One day, you will have a conflict. One day, you won't understand why people are acting the way they're acting. You know, you have no clue. You don't know what to do. I promise you, it will come in handy. Because relationships could be the greatest experience in life, or could be the worst experience in life. Relationships with family members, spouse, kids, siblings, parents, boss, friends, colleagues. Life is all about relationships. Actually, God created us to have relationships, to have relationship with Him and relationship with others. That's why He created Adam, have a relationship with Adam, and Eve, so Adam and Eve would have a relationship with each other. He did not create them for a career. He did not create them for a school. He did not create them to do anything. He created them for a relationship. This is our manual. And actually, Jesus said it when He said that you shall love the Lord, like the commandment, all the commandments in two things. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you know how to relate to people, you will succeed in life. If you don't know how to relate to people, you will always have a cap that you will never go beyond this cap. That's why some people, they find everybody's getting promotion except them. And they don't know why, and it's not fair. I get this a lot. Do you know that some people, like one of the most genius people I've seen in my life, who finished medical school and got into like one of the hardest careers. He was kicked out because he could not relate in his rotations with other people and with patients. He could not relate. He could not deal with people. Okay, so he could be the smartest guy ever, but you will not reach anywhere and you will not succeed. That's why you see very good people, righteous people, but their kids are messed up, and their kids are crazy. Why? Because they can't relate. Being spiritual is good, is necessary, it's very important. But if you don't know how to relate, then, you know, electricity is good. But if you don't have a good conductor, it's useless in the end. I'll give you an example. One of the greatest presidents in our country is President Ronald Reagan. He did not start as a politician, as all of you know. He started in Hollywood, as a matter of fact, okay? And Reagan was an excellent relator. He can relate to anyone. Everybody loved him around him. Everybody. His staff. He dealt with people, they're all the same. His secretary, his janitor, the gardener, everyone loved him. Everyone felt that Ronald Reagan is his best, or made him feel that he's his best friend. That's why the man would just go quickly from being, you know, no one in politics and being in Hollywood all the way to become the president and a great president. He treated everyone the same. And he was a great communicator. He understood a very important fact, and he lived with a principle that I hope all of us can live with, this principle that relationships are way more important than tasks. What do I mean by that? Anything in life, work, family, ministry, school, anything, has two parts in it. Tasks and relationships. Okay? And guess which one is urgent and everyone is ready to do that thing? It's tasks. I need to do this. I have to do lists. I have to take care of them. Let me give you some examples. Let's say a family. Okay? For a family, there's a lot of tasks to be done. There's food to be prepared. There's job. There's other things. And we could be busy with doing all of these things. And at the end of the day, we never even communicated. Okay? So, in a family life, task-oriented people, they become roommates. Relationships-oriented people, they become good friends. Parents and kids. Parents could just focus on eating, which is a huge hassle, you know. Homework, oh my goodness. And activities, you become like a taxi driver. Versus closeness, friendship, and having fun with the kids. Everything in life, work is the same. You could do the tasks or you could build relationships. Tasks and relationships, they're always fighting together. It's actually in a spiritual life, me and God. Either I do the prayer and I go to church and I read this and do that, or I relate to God and I love Him and He loves me and I feel Him and He feels me and so on. Me and my colleagues, same thing. Cannot wait to get out of work or out of school or out of their faces, or we're having fun or building long-term relationships. Some people, they go to work, any work they go, they make a lifelong friends. Are you one of them? If you are one of them, you're excellent. You pass relationships 101. If you're not, and you don't know anyone from the past job and the one before, then you are task-oriented, and watch for this. God created us to have relationships, not to do tasks. God did not create Adam and Eve and told them, okay, every day in the morning, I will give you a to-do list. And you have to go through this to-do list and find. No, it wasn't like this. It's relationships. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, was He all about tasks or relationships? When He was walking around, what did He do? Healing people, taking care of people, meeting that. All His life is interruptions by people who are weak, who are needy, and He would respond to that. It says here in Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. That's leadership. If you want to grow in leadership, if you want to influence people, if you want to grow, you must be relationship-oriented versus task-oriented. To have deep care for people and all people around you. As I gave you the example of Ronald Reagan, or you know, Jesus, who cared for everyone. People who are no one, people who are hated, they were His friends. We're going to go through five basic characteristics of relationships very quickly. You know, like the foundation of relationships. The first one is respect. Respect for everyone. And I will say it again, okay? And you can add this. Respect for everyone, okay? Because some of us are coming from background or our family or our parents or the people that are around us. They learned, you know, in their culture to have categories. Respect for this, but not that. You, especially those who used to have maids and people serve them and stuff like this, the respect, you know, is different from one person to another. You can't have good relationships with people if you don't start with that. You have to respect people before they earn it. You earn respect, but let not people earn respect. You give it to them. Respect means everyone you meet, you put a 10 over his or her head. You know what means put a 10? They're the best people. They're not 90%. They're not 9 out of 10. They are 10 out of 10. They are excellent people. Give everyone the benefit of the doubt because you really don't know. That's a Christian attitude. That's not judging people. Jesus did that. They called him, he is the friend of tax collectors and sinners. He dealt with them the same way he deals with the apostles, with his disciples. Does that make any sense? Yes, it does. That is relation. That is love in action. That is love in action. But I'm not talking about a phony thing. It's like show people that you respect them. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from inside. When you look at someone, you really and sincerely think that he's 10 out of 10. You know, put 10 on their forehead. Very, very important. Second, share experiences. Share the experiences. What does that mean? We have to work together. We have to eat together, have fun together, share life together. I was working in a project for the church, and we had some engineers working with us, you know, not from the church. And I used to see these people every single week, okay, for meetings. Every single week, and the meetings could be like 3-4 hours, very long meetings, for months and months. And I didn't know the people until one day we had lunch together. And we said, there's nothing, you know, we're not talking about business now. You know, it's just, you know, fun and social. After months of knowing them, I have no idea how much I had respect for these people after lunch. I always used to look at these people like, you know, he's too much, she's this, and he's that. But after you get to know these people, you really don't know how they're making it. They're great, they're heroes, they're unbelievable. So why don't we do the opposite? Before knowing anything about them, just put 10 on their heads. And definitely when you share experience with people, you get to know them. If you're at work, very important, you should do that. With your friends, with your colleagues, you must have this time of sharing experience in order to connect with people. It's not a waste of time. It is the best use of time, as a matter of fact. Jesus ate with people. He was in their weddings. He didn't have to be in their weddings. He was in their events. Shared experience. Number three is trust. Very, very important. There's a quotation here that says, to be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved. I will say that again. To be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved. Trust is essential. But people abuse trust. I know that people abuse trust, but it's up to you to still decide to trust people after they abuse your trust or not. You could, you know, people may have abused your trust. Will you never trust anyone again? Or will you choose to continue to trust people? Some people come after like a betrayal from a friend or something, say, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm not going to trust anyone after that. That's wrong. You are the one who's losing. Do you know that it is safer to trust people and to even over-trust people than to be obnoxious and to be suspicious and on all of this? It's much safer. It's much healthier. It's much 10 times better. Did Jesus do that? Absolutely. He chose Peter, knowing that he will deny him, and he chose Judas, even though he knew very well that he will betray him. So why? Because he put 10 over there. He trusted them. He decided to trust them no matter what. He knew that Judas had the box, and he steals everything in it. And he continued to trust him, to give him his chance till the end. If you don't know how to do that, you will never be able to develop relationships and to grow in relationships. Very important. Number four, reciprocity. Healthy relationships must have give and take. Can't be give, 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 or take, take, take. Has to be, you know, both ways. Sometimes, to tell you the truth, I myself have a hard time accepting things from people. Accepting gifts or a compliment, or I don't like anyone to, you know, to bother anyone to do something for me. Until someone told me, no, when you do that, you don't give us a chance to express love. I said, really? Yeah. Okay. I will open the door now. But they said, you know, when you go, because a lot of times when I came to church, I said, no one cooks for me. Okay, because I don't want to waste time and, you know, go quickly one visit to another and stuff like this. So how would older women express their love? Older Egyptian women express their love. Their love equal ورق عنب. محشي ورق عنب. Stuff the grape leaves. That's how they express their love. If they do that, they really love you. Okay, so guys, you know, when you visit someone, if they do this for you, they really love you. If they don't, then, you know, you're okay. You're just okay. So it has to be give and take. You don't ask for the take. Always give, okay? But when is the chance, accept it. Jesus needed his disciples. Did you know that? He told them, I need you. Stand next to me. Pray with me. He did that, right? And number five, mutual enjoyment. This might be the hardest one. You know what does it mean? That you enjoy people. Seriously. Like, when you sit with people, and all people, like you enjoy them. I don't think you got it. You have to learn how to enjoy people. All people. Enjoy the best in them, and the good in them. Find the good in them, and enjoy that. Because a lot of times we don't. We don't. We know that our friends, and we enjoy our friends. But that's not relationships. That's not relationships. Relationships and good relationships is when you learn how to enjoy everyone around you. So, before we do that, how can I understand others? How can I understand others? I'll give you some points and some general principles about people. And I want to warn you, don't ever say, but my wife is exceptional, or my child is this, or my boss is completely crazy. That doesn't apply to my boss. These principles apply to everyone. Even the meanest people, even the craziest people, we're all human beings, and this applies to everyone. The first principle is everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to feel important. When Jesus met people, he made everyone feel very special. He made everyone feel that he's the best person in the whole wide world. He did that with everyone. Same thing. People wants to be recognized. They want to feel that they are important. They mean something to you. And people actually can tell with the way you greet them, with the way you deal with them. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants a recognition. Everybody wants respect. Everybody wants to be somebody. The second principle is nobody cares how much you know until he knows how much you care. How much you care. Let me give an example. You can go to two different doctors. Someone is great, knowledgeable, very well known, but he doesn't care. And someone, he's okay, he's an average doctor, but he really cares about you. And he really treats you as a family member and as a VIP. I think you will end up going to the second one. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care about them. Kids will never listen to any advices until you know they know that you care. People will never listen to a teacher until they know that this teacher cares about me and wants the best for me. Same thing as friends, as everyone. Everybody needs somebody. So the first principle, everybody wants to be somebody. Nobody cares about how much you know until he knows how much you care. Third principle is everybody needs somebody. Everyone needs friendship and encouragement, even if they don't show it, if they don't admit it. Everybody needs that. The book of Ecclesiastes says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Even the people who sometimes can reject you, in the end, these people, they need you. And they will express that at a certain point of time. The fourth, everybody can be somebody when somebody believes in him or her. Everybody can be somebody when somebody believes in him or her. What does that mean? Is people have great, everyone has great potential. But this will never show unless someone tells him or tells her, I believe in you. I know you can do it, and I know that from the bottom of my heart. Yes, you can do it. I know that. People can never reach their potential until someone believes in them. I've seen a lot of these people. And I encouraged a lot of people. Sometimes it takes years until they reach their potential. But they will always test, do you still believe in me or not? You still know that I can do it or not? People will never give up because of difficulties. People will give up when people give them the feeling that they gave up on them. They'll never, ever, ever give this feeling to anyone, to your child, to your spouse, to your boss, to anyone. That I don't think you will ever be able to do it. That's when they start to give up and to lose hope. The last one, anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. I'll say it again. Anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. Best example, Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman. Jesus came, sat with her, made her feel she's very special, okay? And she said the truth, and she's an honest person, and she's a good person. He believed in her. In no time, she became a missionary. She brought her entire city to Jesus. Not a single disciple did that before. Who of the disciples brought a whole city for the Lord? Not a single person. But this one, when Jesus believed in her, she was able to get an entire city for him. In the end, it's your choice to understand people and to choose to understand people. You might not be like people's person. Like, our nature. Some people are, they like people, and some people don't like people. Like, not for any offense, and, they're not bad, but I'm not a people person. They say that. But it's your choice to learn how to understand, and you can grow in that. You can grow. Never say, I'm not a people person, and I will continue to be a people person. When you say that, you mean, I will continue to be a failure, and I will never grow, and I will never reach my potential, and I will never be a great person and a great leader in a community or a church or anyone. When you say that, I have always to learn how to understand people and how to relate to people and to grow in that. We don't understand each other because we're so self-centered and we're so focused on ourselves. That's why I don't get the chance to know what's good in people and to appreciate and to encourage and to believe in people. Believe me, when you believe in someone and when you encourage someone, it's in your best interest in the end. That's what Jesus did. What Jesus did, he believed in people. He trusted people that you can never trust. And he gave them a lot of leverage and a lot of strength. And in the end, they brought the whole world to him. They worked very hard for him. So that's how I understand others. The second question is, how can I encourage others? Very, very, very important. Believing in people before they have proved themselves is the key to motivating people to reach their potential. To believe in them before they do anything good or anything right. Everybody loves encouragement. Don't tell me otherwise. Everybody. If I tell you I don't need encouragement, I don't love encouragement, I'll be lying. We all like encouragement. We all need encouragement. To be encouraged, to be encourager is to have faith in people. To have faith in people. In 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love believes all things, hopes all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things. Believes everyone and trusts everyone. Some facts about this. This might be the most important part that we will cover today. First fact is most people don't have faith in themselves. I'll say that again. Most people don't have faith in themselves. No matter how much they show self-confidence, they're insecure inside. They don't show it. We hide it, and we hide it very well. As I said, when people don't reach their potentials, it's not because of difficulties. When people don't reach their dreams, it's not because of problems, but because people lack of faith in themselves. They didn't believe in themselves. A little faith in themselves can do miracles in their lives. When people don't believe in themselves, that's not actually a Christian attitude, because we believe as Christian that the Holy Spirit is in us. We have God in us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not a Christian attitude. Sometimes it sounds spiritual. I don't believe in myself. Sounds spiritual, right? It's nice. Like I'm bad. Like I don't believe in my. I'm a failure. Sounds spiritual, right? It's not. It's not good. It's not spiritual. But guess what? I don't want to give any statistics. But really, most people don't have faith in themselves. They need someone else to believe in them. Most people don't have someone to have faith in them. That's very dangerous. Don't have anyone. Every time I see someone, I ask myself a question. Who's encouraging this person? And the second question is, who's praying for this person? What's his or her support? Very, very important. Everyone needs that. Who's their support? One evangelist who worked in prisons, he found out something very interesting. He found out 90% of the prison inmates, when they were young, they heard it from their parents that one day you will end up in jail. 90% heard from their parents that. They don't have anyone. They don't have someone to believe in them. The third is most people can sense when someone else has faith in them. People can tell if you really believe in them or not. People sense it. If you're phony, and these are just words, in the end it will show. You know how it will show? Like, you find someone at work has a great team, and he's saying like phony words, to this great team. Of course, they start real work and problems and stuff like this. And then they start to fail one after the other and to drop one after the other. Why? Because they didn't think that their leader believed in them. He stopped believing in them. He's phony, just words, but he doesn't believe what he's saying. People can tell. Remember always that your goal in relationships, not to get people to think highly of you, but think highly of themselves. You want to succeed in relationships. The goal is not people to like me. People will like you if you do the right thing, believe me. If you care about them, they will like you. They will definitely like you. And you will have too much friends and you will never have time for them. And people will be after you. But it doesn't start this way. It starts with a deep, real care for people, for their best interest, for their growth, for their development, for their encouragement, for their morale, for everything, caring, real care about them. They will love you, for sure. The last principle here is most people will do anything to live up to your faith in them. Most people do anything to live up to your faith in them. When you trust people, you don't just motivate them. You create a great environment for them to grow. Okay? You don't just motivate them. It's not just words and, yeah, let's be motivated and let's do it and stuff like this. Yes, we can and all of these phony stuff, you know. No, that's not the thing. it doesn't start this way. But it creates an environment for people to really grow. That's when I continue to believe in them. How to believe in people? I'll give you just things to remember, the acronyms of belief. Okay? Number one, B, believe in them before they succeed. If you believe in them after they succeed, that's, you know, you lost it. You know, your chances before they succeed, before they become anybody, before they become somebody, as I said. Jesus did that. He took a tax collector, Levi, made him Matthew. He's the writer of the first gospel, one of the great 12 disciples. He believed in him before, when he was a tax collector. Follow me. That's great. As I said, there's no hopeless situations. No hopeless situations. People become hopeless when they feel others feel hopeless about them. Watch this. E, emphasize their strength. Praise them for what they do privately and publicly. Goes for children, colleagues, spouse, everyone. You know, praise them when they do something good, privately and publicly, especially in the presence of their family and their loved ones. Catch the chance. Like, be an encourager. Go when you see something good, praise and encourage sincerely from the heart and learn how to communicate that. Emphasize their strength. It's something that you learn. Okay? It will never come automatically. We're never born with this. Okay? This is something we learn. This is something we grow in. Something that we decide that we will do. L, for list their past success. Give you a story. Remember David and Goliath. Okay? David went to the war. Goliath was there 40 days. He's cursing the people of God, the Israelites. He's the Palestine, tall, 9 feet guy. And no one can ever stand in front of him. So David, little boy, you know, he was cute. He's nice looking and young and small. And he came to King Saul and said, let me go and fight this guy. Of course, he looked at him and he laughed. What are you talking about? And he said, let me give you two stories. I was taking care of my sheep. And a lion came and took one of the sheep, and I went after the lion and hit him and opened his mouth and I get the sheep out of him. He said, really? He said, yeah. And another time a bear came, and I went after the bear and I took the sheep out of the bear. And then Goliath said, okay, all right, if you're not afraid of a bear or a lion, go. But not everybody is like David. can believe in God who takes care of him, who took care of him in the past, will take care of him in the future? Do you need someone to remind them? Do you need someone to remind? Don't you remember? Or let me tell you, like what other people did. I instill confidence when they fail. Very important. Instill confidence when they fail. Not a lot of people can do that. We get hard on people when they fail. And we teach them, listen, and I told you so, and all of them. That doesn't work this way. It doesn't, you know, I told you so never, never, ever helped anyone before. But instilling confidence in them. Why will they fail? Because it's part of life. We will fail. We will, it will happen. Some people are resilient and they will continue. But some people will give up at the first obstacle. They need someone to tell them, yes, you can do it. Just continue. Keep going. E, experience some wins together. Some people are, they just don't have any energy and they just give up on themselves. Do little things with them. Little wins. Help them with a small project. Help them to do something to show them that they are successful and they can do it. Maybe they can do it on their own. You need to help them do that. V, visualize their future success. That's how you will be. There is a story about rats, okay? They made an experiment. They took a rat and they put him on a jar full of water. And it was very dark. And they counted how many minutes it will take the rat until he gives up and he drowns. Okay? They did many rats. And they found like the average time is 3 minutes. Takes the 3 minutes for the rat to fight and then he would end up, give up and drown. I'm sorry if you like rats and you have like hamsters at home. It's I'm sorry about that. But this is just an experiment and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Like I just read it. And they did the experiment with other rats and not in darkness when there is just a ray of light coming to the jar. And they found that it took them 36 hours before they give up. Because they see hope. They see lights. From 3 minutes to 36 hours. That's the average that they found. Meaning we all need to see the light at the end of the tunnel. There is a famous saying that says, a person can live 40 days without food. Do you know it? 4 days. You don't know this? It's very famous. A person can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, and not 4 seconds without hope. Not even 4 seconds without hope. We all need the hope. E, expect a new level of living. Like things, let them expand their horizon and think big and not, anyone who really succeeded, some people told them, why do you think that big? Why don't you think that big? Yeah. Like life has more than this. Why are you so limited in your thinking and what you can do? We are the children of God and we should never live weak, defeated by any means. There's no reason for us, especially us, the children of God. The last point here, or the one before the last, is how can I become a better listener? Because listening is the key for relationships. You can never build good relationships before learning how to be a good listener first. It's a skill that, and a commandment, actually. In James, St. James said that, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listen a lot, and listen more than you speak. And when you listen to people, you tell them that you are important, that you mean to me, that I learn from you, that I care about how you feel and how you do things. So how to be a good listener? I put like 9 things for you here. And it's good for marriage, of course. It's good for, for business, for leadership, for anything. Number one, when you communicate, when you listen, you have to look at the speaker and give them undivided attention. Learn how to do that. put down that remote control. Turn off the TV. Look in the eye. Especially guys, girls, I don't know if you know this. You know, guys, they can sit next to each other. Everyone is looking in a different direction and have very intimate, you know, conversation, very, very strong. Ladies can never do that. It's just a natural thing. They have to look at each other in the eye. So regardless if you're talking to a man or to a woman, just eye contact. Look at the speaker, undivided attention. Without doing that, you can never be a good listener. Second is do not interrupt. When you interrupt people, is you tell them that you don't care about what they're saying. That's nonsense. Or you tell them that I want to impress you. Okay? Or I'm just too excited about what you're saying. Okay? The third is good, but still, it's not a good reason to interrupt. So if you are interrupter, see which of the three you fall under. Number three, focus on understanding. Understanding their body. You're focusing so much to understand what the person feels. Not just thinking about other things and completely in a different world. You're really focusing, and people can tell if you are. Number four, determine the need at the moment. What do they need out of this conversation? Do they need to solve a problem? If a man, he wants the problem to be solved. Or a woman, she just not needs to vent. Just let it out. So, you know, give everyone what he is venting. Just let them vent. Okay, you need an answer. You have to give them an answer. You know, so determine what the need of the conversation is. Number five, check your emotions. Check your emotions. What does that mean? Sigmund Freud said something. He said a man with a toothache cannot be in love. What does that mean? It's like, when you have a toothache, okay, and it's really bad, you can't function, you can't show emotion, you can't do anything in life, okay? So sometimes people come to discuss something very urgent at a moment where you're extremely tired, you have something huge in your mind, you know, if this is the case, then you need to tell them that, you know, maybe we need to conversate in another time or, you know, continue this conversation another time. Well, tell them that you just have a toothache, okay? Because sometimes the reaction, like something very small, and the reaction is huge. Why? It's not because of what I'm telling you. It's because of the toothache, okay? So just check the emotions, because it's very, very important. Number six, suspend your judgment. Wait, don't judge right away. Number seven, sum up. Summarize what you heard. Is that what you mean? From what you said, I understood that when I did that thing, it made you feel that way. Is that what you're trying to say? And they say, no, that's not what I meant. I meant something else. Ask questions for clarity. So what else? Like, does that mean this, or it means that? Or, you know, asking question tells the other person everything you say and you feel is very important to me. Number nine, always make listening your priority, no matter how busy you are. And no matter how big you are. You know who's good at this? The best one is actually His Holiness Pope Shenouda. Whenever he's in a meeting, he takes at least an hour to look at questions and people Q&A. Why? Because it's listening to people. Listening to their problems. Listening to, you know, what they think and what they say and, you know, what's in their mind, what's in their heart. You know, very, very important. They said once that Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, you know, he went to visit one of the stores or one of the major distribution centers in Texas. And then he took his private plane and he told the pilot to go and meet him in another place 100 miles down the road. Why? Because he went there and he ride with a driver for 100 miles just to listen to the driver, just see the driver's life, because, you know, most of their work is based on that. Wanted to listen and made this a priority. What is the most important relationship? Can never succeed in relationships until you do the most important one first. Succeed at home and all other relationships become easier. You don't succeed at home. If I have a servant in the church and I get complaints from his home, from his parents, from his spouse or her spouse, I tell them, you know, you can't help others if you can't help yourself. If you can't relate at home, you can't relate anywhere else. Some people think that their happiness would come at the expense of breaking the family. That's an illusion. Happiness will never, ever come to anyone living in a broken home. When you have problems at home, nothing in life will matter. And you will never enjoy anything else. Be the greatest CEO, be the biggest guy, be the richest guy, it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, most of the very successful people who really made it for a long time, they have very strong family values and they give priority to family and family life. If you can't succeed in that, you can never succeed, you know, anything else. You know, when I have a servant, or when, you know, when I'm choosing a priest for the priesthood or to be with us, first most important thing, home. The Bible says that. St. Paul says that. If someone is successful at home, bring him to serve. If he can't manage his home, he can't manage the church of God. Very important. Must put success at home first, or else no other success will last. You can succeed, but not for a long time if you don't have good relationships at home. I put just very, 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 very quick points here for family steps to building a strong family. So one of them is express appreciation for each other. Don't be like the nice salesman who's very sweet and maybe even flirtatious at work, and when he come home, he is the rudest person you can ever see. No, that's not a good thing. No, that's not a good thing. Let your family and your family time be your support time, your breathing time. Like this is where you take a breath, you know. This is where you really relax. If this is not the case, maybe we need to work on that. If you support them, they will support you. If you care for them, they will care for you. If you make home a better place for them, they will make home a better place for you. Do you know that every single negative comment that we give to others, we need 4 nice comments to just delete that, to just let it pass? Seriously. That's why you can never afford saying a negative comment, because it will take a lot to just fix that. So try to see the best things in people and encourage for that and express nice words. Learn how to say that, how to say it verbally. Try to look always at the positive and encourage. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Give them grace. Give them encouragement. Give them blessing. You know, we all need that. Everyone needs that. The second is structure your life to spend time together. Time is very, very, very limited now. Relationships without time means nothing. You want to build a relationship with anyone without spending time together, you know, you're dreaming, okay? So time is very limited. What do? We have to be very creative. We have to plan in advance. You know, take a week in advance, a month in advance, depending on how busy you are, and block time. It's family time. It's day for the family. It's family night. I will never put any appointment on that. I will never accept any invitation on that day. Why? Because it's family time. Because family comes first. Because if family collapses, everything else will never work well. Be creative. Drive kids to school. Plan things in advance. If you don't plan it, will never happen. So third, deal with crisis in a positive way. Crisis will always come, but people will be against each other in crisis, or people will use crisis to connect together and to unite and to fight the crisis together and to be one, okay? And the blessing of unity is just unbelievable. Number 3 or 4, communicate continually. Communicate continually. plan time for communications. I tell couples, it applies to couples, families, anyone. If you don't plan to talk to each other, you will not. You will find that there is a week, especially if you're a man. You will never realize that you had a whole week, and women, please understand that men, they really like don't feel it. But it could be like a week, and we didn't have a good intimate conversation as people, relational, not just roommates and put this here and that there and drive this and get that. That's too much to have a week without anything personal. How are you doing and how are you feeling? What, people can stay a long time if they don't feel that. Of course, ladies can tell right away, and guys may not feel that. So we need to plan that. I tell couples now is, plan a 15 minutes tea time. Where kids, they're not allowed to get in the conversation, and you're just talking, eye to eye, and talking about, us and things like this, so have meaningful conversation. Clarity, speaking the truth in love. Very, 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 very important. If you don't speak what's in your heart, can never connect and build healthy. Share the same values. You have to decide, sometimes families, they go with completely different values. The way, mom is saying something and dad is saying something, kids are saying something else. That's a terrible thing. We'll never build the household. But we need to decide. This is our priorities. 1, 2, 3. That's most important to us. This is the least important to us. This is what we believe in. We talk about it. We communicated with kids and even with others. Jesus said, a house divided against itself will fall. You will lack the unity. The last is, if you're in a family, build your marriage. Build your marriage, it will build your family. I see parents want to do the best things for their kids, but they have terrible marriage. Terrible marriage. Can never, ever. The best thing, Josh McDowell said, that the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. The greatest thing a father can do his children is love their mother. That's what kids need most. Ephesians is one of the most spiritual epistles that St. Paul gave. And he dedicated half a chapter in chapter 5 to talk about marriage. Why? Because when marriage fails, family fails. When family fails, community fails. And country fails. And without that, what's getting us in trouble now, as I said, is not, problems and catastrophes and tasks and time and all of this. No, it's lack of good relationships. We need to decide that this is a priority for me, whether at work or at home or at anything. If you want to succeed, if you want to live for what God wanted you to live for, then think about that and put this as a priority. Relationships will never be urgent. Will never be urgent. Never. Tasks will. So many things to be done, yes. But relationships will never be urgent thing. You make it urgent. You make it important. You say, I put this first. Before you discuss details and tasks, greet people well and put value in relationships more than anything else. This will definitely lead to a blessing, lead to success, because as I said, that's why God created us for. This will bless our life, bless our marriages, bless our homes, bless our community and our church, our country. Very, very, very important. Decide to learn that. Decide to grow in that. See what are the things that we spoke about here that you need to focus on, that you need to pray about, that you need to work on. And may the Lord give all of us to be like Him, focusing on others and on people and blessing others so our lives may be blessed. Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We thank you, Lord, because you decided that we are so important, that you came to earth in order to love us and to bless our lives. You didn't just care about the salvation, that you will give us salvation, but you cared about showing us your love, speaking love to us, communicating your love with us. We thank you for that. We thank you for your precious blood and your amazing love. Lord, I know when we discover how much you love us, we will be able to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, many things are not going well because of poor relationships. We all need to learn that. We all need to grow in that. Give us from your Holy Spirit. Make us like you, to treat people the way you treat them and to love people the way you love them. Pray this, Lord, that every one of us become a source of light and a source of blessing for all people around him or her. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the intercession of Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, all your saints, when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not temptations, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, and the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the love of God the Father, Christ, who is only begotten Son, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. You may live in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.